always have fun getting that situated the way I want it. Same with wearing a sweater. Summer's going to be here soon, though. What's that? Sometime. Yeah, sometime. But I like wearing sweaters, so. As we continue on our road, Roman road, what I call the true road to freedom, that Paul outlines for us in the book of Romans. Last week we talked about the characteristics of God's plan. And remember, I gave you we're talking about grace. And the acrostic I gave you there that I learned from Brother Fitch, Elder Fitch, years ago, fits right into the whole book of Romans. And then Paul talks about that. We talked about God's characteristics of his way. Of saving mankind, of saving people. That's the G in grace. God thought it, not man. I don't think there's a person alive or even a person that's gone now or anyone in the future would think what God thought of how to save people. How to give them eternity, timelessness, life without end. Man couldn't think of that. Think of any person who's thought of that? I can't. Oh, there's some who think that they do have the answer, but they don't. God thought it. It's his. And we talked about that and the price paid. This morning I want to talk about two things, and that is the characteristics of God's way. Again, not man's way. Believe it or not, man's way is this. By law, what I mean is they live and follow their own rules and way. That's man's way. And as I've said before, Christians, the church has a misunderstanding if they think that God will not let people live that way, because he will. But in the end, they'll face the consequences of that, because they'll have to answer to it their way. That the Lord's going to say, you did it your way? Let's see how that turned out for you in my eyes. Not my eyes, not your eyes, his eyes. Let's see how that turned out for you, shall we? That's what God's going to do for those outside of his way who choose not his way. I've been learning a little bit about that this for those of us in the Sunday morning class that Brother Gary Johnson is sharing with us through the video. Very good. But God thought it, not man. The R is redemption. Redemption wrought it. Redemption bought it. the price paid. And we're going to sing that as our closing song again. He paid a debt he did not owe, but none of us could pay. But now we come to in verse 25 of Romans chapter 3. You see, we laid out, God lays out for us the characteristics of his plan, but now he lays down the basis of his way, of his plan, the foundation. And many people get that wrong. The basis of his plan. What is that? Found in verse 25. What does he say here? Whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation. That's a big nickel and dime word there now. And we're going to unpack that. As a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. That's the basis of God's plan. What Jeff was talking about in his communion meditation. What we show up there on the screen, the three crosses. And what we consider the cross in the center. That's the basis of his plan. Redemption bought it. The atoning and the propitiation of Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the foundation. Brothers and sisters and people, folks, that's what we've got to get people to see. That's the foundation. That's the basis. Not themselves. It is the atoning and propitiation of Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. It is the removal. Now, people don't like to hear talk about this these days. Let alone on people's part or their part, or if you want a man's part, but God's part. Because what it is the removal of the wrath of God. See, people don't like to hear about the wrath of God. Like, as we heard this morning, what people like to hear and what they want to hear is what? God is love. God's love. And they want to stop there. And that's it. But what Paul is talking about here is the removal of the wrath. Yes, the anger of God. His wrath. Brother Gareth Reese says, what that is, it is God's personal, get this, it is God's personal, active, holy displeasure against sin. Directed at who? Directed at the sinner. Well, who's the sinner? Well, Paul gave us the answer for that. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, the character of God. Not because they're born that way, but because they choose to not obey him. So, it is the removal, the atoning and propitiation of Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection is the removal of his wrath. He did that through his son. And I agree with Brother Gareth Reese when he said, it is God's personal, active, holy displeasure against sin directed at the sinner. You know where the best explanation of that is found? Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 through 28, which says this: For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mirror copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, judgment. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without sin. Without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await him. That's the best explanation found of this verse. The atoning propitiation. You think of what Paul was talking about there. Paul knew what he was saying there. And many of his hearers would understand that. For whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood. The high priest. That's why Hebrews says, For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in all respect, all aspect, all areas has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And Stan, you see what the high priest did in the Old Testament days for the children of Israel, what God told them to do. Once a year, the high priest would go into where? The Holy of Holies and make atonement, propitiation for the sins of the people. He would then put that, some of that blood on what? On a goat. What came to be known as the scapegoat. And send it out into the wilderness. As a representation that their sins were taken away. High priest would do that once a year. We understand that when Jesus was crucified, when he died on that cross, the veil separating the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple was sundered in two, signifying no need for it anymore. Why? Because Christ is the atoning and propitiation. God was saying through that, my wrath, my active holy displeasure against sin is taken away through my Son, the Holy of Holies, saying, once a year, high priest, no longer needed. Why? Because now you have the high priest of all. You have the high priest in my Son. Who did that? The blood of Christ is the means of that propitiation. Through what? Paul says, in his blood, through faith. Through faith. That means that, yes, it is limited. It's limited to believers. It's limited indeed, yes, to Christians, to disciples, those who follow Christ through faith, he says. It is, he said, God displayed it publicly. What does that mean? Does that mean? That means that when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't die. It wasn't hidden. God didn't hide it and say, oh, people, guess what? I sacrificed my son. I killed my own son. Just wanted you to know that. No, God did it publicly. Everybody saw it. Because he wanted them to see what it took to save them, to do away with their sins. Because they couldn't do it that way. Because to do it that way, a person has to keep it perfectly. That means you can't miss a thing. And that is why, as well, it is wrong, and we cannot make a law out of the New Testament. We can't say, okay, everything in the New Testament, you obey that, you follow all that, you got it made. That's the same as that. That's making a law out of it. God didn't do that. I said, my son, grace, I'm giving it to you. It's yours. And he publicly displayed that. But there are many of those who did not believe. We know that. There were those who said, he saved others. Let him save himself now. Come down from that cross if you're who you say you are. Little didn't they know, they had to stay up there until he died. And he knew it. Little did they know he could have come down. You don't think he could? Jesus could have come down from that cross? Yeah, he could have. Did he not tell Peter and the rest of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, who were with him at that time? Didn't he tell the disciples? Put it away. Don't you know? I could call more than 12 legions of angels, and they take me out of this. Isn't that what he said when he said to Pilate? My kingdom is not this world. If it was, my followers would be fighting you right now. But it's not of this world. Pilate didn't understand that. That's why he said, what's truth? Many people today are in that same boat. They're saying, what's truth? You say it's true. I don't say it's true. Not truth to me. Just like Pilate. But Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, the truth. He didn't say a truth. He said the truth and the light. You come to me, you have it. And you have it abundantly. But you can't come to my Father but through me. That's what people don't like today. They want to do it their own way. So God says, you want to do it your way? Okay, I'll let you do it your way. We cannot miss this, people. God will let people go their own way. He won't stop them from going their own way. But what the church is and what we are about and what we are here for is to share with them the basis of his plan, his way, grace. He says to demonstrate his righteousness. not our righteousness, not demonstrate man's righteousness, but his. Why he did it? To demonstrate his righteousness. So that brings us, and notice he says, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. Now, people misunderstand that verse. People think that what that means and what Paul is talking about is that the sins previously committed, that it's yours and my sins. No. That's not it at all. What Paul says about the sins previously committed, he's talking about those in the past. Those in the Old Testament. We're going to get into that when we look at Romans chapter 4. It's always been there. Even in Old Testament days. However, God overlooked those sins. That was the purpose of the high priest's yearly atonement. The propitiation for the sins of the people, sending the scapegoat out. He overlooked them. But he didn't do anything about it. Nothing was done about it until his son died. Then it was. That's why the scriptures talk about, and we're going to get into that when we get to Romans 4. But Abraham, why Abraham looked for that. Why there were others who looked for that. So that's the basis of his plan. We can't do away with that. That is the ultimate foundation. Without that basis and foundation, his plan doesn't hold together. That's why God thought it. Redemption bought it. And anointing wrought it. So what's the objective of God's plan? Look what he says in verse 26. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Do we get that? That's the objective of God's plan. You have the characteristics laid out, Paul lays them out. You have the foundation, the basis. Now you have the objective. Now, this is where I believe people get off track. And where some in the church can get off track. Because the reason why is because most believe that the objective of his plan was to save mankind. Where people get off track. It is true. It is true that God's desire is that all come to repentance and accept, yes, his way, his plan of salvation. And he wishes that no one, nada, zip, zero, no one perish. And they all come to repentance and have salvation. Yes, that's true. But the objective of his plan was not to save mankind. Although that is his desire. The Apostle Paul tells us what it is. His objective is in this verse. What does he say? For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier. Underscore that. The just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. What is the objective of God's plan? Yes, he's going to Is the plan of salvation is to save man, yes. But the objective of his plan is the vindication of his justice. That's the objective of his plan. The vindication of his justice. That's what Paul says. See, the latter part of verse 26 there is what in the Greek is known as a henna clause, which means it's a purpose clause. And it's a parenthetical, what we call a parenthetical sentence here, but it's a purpose clause. In order that, for the demonstration, I say of his righteousness at the present time, so that, see this? This is his objective. In order that, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. That's God's ultimate objective of his death on the cross. The vindication of his justice. Why? Because it shows that God's action is in perfect accord with his character. Yes, God is love. But what are all the other attributes, characteristics of God? Is not one of them justice? Not one of them he is just? Well, if God, yes, God allows people to sin and go their own way. But would he be just? And would it show forth his justice if he didn't have a way to deal with that? And just let man go his own way and suffer the consequence no matter what? What would that do to his justice? What indeed would that do to his love? What indeed would that do to his kindness, his compassion, if you just let it go? That's the objective of his plan, to vindicate his justice. And he does that, and he did that through the death of Christ on the cross. Thus, what he does, his action, is in perfect accord then with his character. Literally, what the text says here, when it says, the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus, literally what that says is, of the one who is of the faith of Jesus. Of the one who is of the faith of Jesus. Get that? The basis and the objective. It's all important to see that before you can get to the other things, which we're going to talk about next week. And that is the result of all of this. But I leave you with this thought this morning, before we turn to that next week, and that is this. You are saved. You and I are saved not because of what you or I do, but because of what Christ did. And you and I, and oh, how we should be able to, and should strive, and if we could get that across to people, that you and I and others are special. Do you suppose, now there are others who have done that, and we've heard about it, but just suppose to bring up two recent examples, those people who committed suicide last week. famous people, were they not? Celebrities in their circles. One a celebrity designer. One a celebrity chef, went all over the world, was preparing to put on another show. He hung himself. Do you suppose that they thought they were special? Or were they missing that? I think they were missing it. But society has done that to us. The teachings and things of the world has done that to us. When you believe that there is no God, there is no Jesus, none of those things are real. When you believe that you just came about because of evolution, by chance, that you arose and that you are alive because of non-living matter and all came about for no reason, no purpose. Why, you're no better than an amoeba. If that's the case, tell me. And people who believe that, what makes you special? But see, what God says here, what Paul is teaching us through this here, is we are special. You and I are special. People are special. But not because of what you and I do or what they do. But why? And this is where people have got to begin to get it. Because of whose they are. Because of whose. Not who, but whose they are. Because they are made in the image, created, made in the image. Special. That's why God did it. Now his objective, yes, was to vindicate his justice. But he wanted to vindicate his justice to save people and to show them, human beings, I love you. I love you. To show them and to tell them, I think you're special. That's why I sent my son. That's why I did it. He did it for you. See, that is what is missing today. Next week we're going to talk about the results. Because there are some results. About three of them, as far as God's way is concerned. But until we get this part down and understand that and strive to get other people to understand that, they can't go to the results. They can't handle it. See? Let's stand. We're going to sing this song, He Paid a Debt.